This is Dale Cantrell, pastor of the Meridianville Holiness Church. Thanks for joining us for this look into God's Word as we try to gain a better understanding of God's will for us. Many of us at the Meridianville Holiness Church feel like God would be pleased with us sharing our faith with our community and surrounding area. I feel like if I knew the cure for cancer and did not share it, it would be like the four lepers of 2 Kings 7:9 who proclaimed, "We do not well to hold our peace." I hope that those in the hospital, nursing home, rehab, or wherever that can't get to where the Word of God has been delivered in person could benefit from this message. This message is not intended to replace someone going to church or being able to hear the message in person, but for those people that can't get to where the Word of God has been delivered this morning, I'd like to bring it to you this afternoon. We would like to invite you to one of our services at the Meridianville Holiness Church. We meet at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning and 5 p.m. on Sunday evening and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. I'd like to talk to you today from Mark 14, 3 through 9 in the King James Version of the Bible. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, talking about Jesus, the he in this is Jesus, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation with them themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily, I say unto you that whosoever, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done will be mentioned." The alabaster, it was reserved for the good stuff. Said she didn't open the box, but broke it. If you open it, then you can close it back again, but she chose not to do that. She broke it, meaning to me that she was intending to use every bit of it. When we do something for God, we don't need to hold back. We don't need to open it and close it. We need to just pour it all out. Don't tell me you love somebody and don't give them nothing. Love demonstrates itself through giving. The trouble is, with most people, is they've been opened up and not broken. When you get broken, you can't help it if you pour out. I would hate to have lived and died and never known what it was like to have committed myself, to thrown my whole self into the process. This sermon today is about commitment. We need to look into commitment. There needs to be more committed people in this world, people that's committed to a cause or to something. I heard a story about a pig and a chicken, and they was going down the road together, and the chicken told the pig, "Master's hungry, and he wants his breakfast." And the pig said, "What does Master want?" Chicken said, "He wants ham and eggs, and I'll give the eggs if you'll give the ham." The chicken was talking about a contribution, but to the pig, it was a sacrifice. It was a commitment. How many of you just want to give the things that's just a extra contribution, but don't want to talk about giving a commitment, making a commitment? Many have always had one foot in and one foot out and never been committed fully with anything. That's what's going to make your death so sad. You've never seen what you could be if you just threw your whole self in. And you're getting older, and you're running out of time, and you're running out of excuses. You're also running out of people to blame. I wonder what would have happened at church if you had been committed. Wonder what would have happened in your marriage if only you had been committed. I wonder what would have happened at church if you had thrown your whole self into it. Psalm 103:1 says, "Bless my soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. bless his holy name. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible wants. That's what the Lord is expecting, is all that is within you. He don't want you to hold anything back. In Acts 3:6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That's what the Lord expects. The such as you have, give you to him. He's not expecting something you don't have. Just give him what you've got. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all, do it with thy might. For there is no work, no device, no knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." He said, do it heartily. Have you ever done something and did it half-heartedly? I know God's not pleased with that. If my wife fixes me something to eat and I just kind of pick through it and just eat half-heartedly, it doesn't give her much incentive to fix me something else anytime soon. It costs you something to really worship. You can go through the motions, but to really worship, it costs. God wants what you've been saving back, what you have been holding back. You will never get the real blessing until you break the box. I want to live my life. I want to live full and die empty. I want to live life to the fullest, and at the end, I don't want to have anything left over. Some of the most talented, the treasures, they're not at Fort Knox. They're not in the banks. But some of the greatest treasures are at the cemeteries. Songs that have never been sung. Sermons that's never been preached. Love that's never been expressed. There's treasures down there. I want to use mine before I get there. Some of you have always been casual and never been committed. You were always holding back just in case it didn't turn out right. You'll never know what you could have been. Some of you never unpack because you think that maybe you'll move on. I don't have much of a plan B or C or D. I've got a plan A. My plan A is to make it to heaven, and I don't have a backup plan. I've got everything I've got into that. God wants full custody of his children, not just monthly visitation. You've been at 30 or 60-fold when you were created to be a 100-fold person. To some people, commitment costs too much. They won't do for God what they're asking God to do for them, and they wonder why their prayers go unanswered. Even a pet or goldfish takes commitment. If you're not committed enough for those, a mate or a child is out of the question. Don't get something that you're not going to take care of. As I said, some people never unpack just in case they want to move, just in case they want to bail out and quit. You'll never get to see what you could have been because you were never willing to pay the cost. And oh yes, there is a cost to everything. Lukewarm, half trying, half committed, casual. You've never thrown yourself fully at anything in your life. You don't know what you're missing out when you put everything that you've got into a worthy cause. And you think greatness goes on sale. You keep waiting for them to put it on sale, but it always goes for the full price every time. True quality, true greatness never goes on sale. The only thing that does go on sale is cheap stuff. They're not trying to get someone average to buy quality. It costs what it's cost. You can't get out of something you're not willing to put into it. You have to give everything. Nothing is going to jump out if you don't put something in. One of the greatest deceptions that the enemy has put off on us is he has made us just too comfortable, too contented. It seemed like to me we can explain praise, but we cannot do it. And our people come to church like spectators at a concert. I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that we have just got used to God. we decide if we don't come to church today or tonight or Wednesday night, we schedule him like a dentist appointment. The disciples were so impressed with Jesus that they quit their jobs, left their families, left everything just to walk with him. What have you give up to walk with Jesus? Never mind what I'm going to eat. Just let me walk with you, Jesus. The people, when he divided the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they were out in a desert place. There was 5,000 men, not counting women and children. They went out there without anything to eat, just in hopes that they could hear him. He had no microphone. They were just hoping that the wind would carry his voice to where they were at. Just to hear him clear his throat and utter a word of wisdom. But now we've got padded pews and air-conditioned and heated churches, and we can't hardly endure just a little bit of the service. Where could we go, Lord? What do you mean, am I coming to church tonight? Where else would I go, Lord? Anybody can walk with God when he's moving. The real test of faith is, can you walk with God when nothing is happening at all? We walk with God until we almost let Jesus come to be no big deal. We get the ho-hum. We get the feeling like everything's just so familiar. We just get used to Jesus. There's 4 things that we need to be committed to, at least. One is God, who gave you life, who blew breath into you. He has got a right above all others for a return on his investment. Mama bought you shoes, Daddy got you a bicycle, but it was God who gave you life. The second thing is family, which is another very important commitment. If you only love me when you like me, we ain't going to make it, because sooner or later we're going to get on each other's last nerve. It's we and us, not you and me. You're my son in the house. You're my son in the hog pen. The third thing is church. We sacrifice almost nothing. It's all about what I can get and not what I can give. I told you at another time that you're not put here for what you can get. You're put here for what you can give. A taker may eat better, but a giver is going to sleep and rest better. What do you give for all that you've got? Are you demanding more of your God, your family, or your church than you're willing to give? Anything that you expect more of than you give, you will live in disappointment. You reap what you sow. You have to feed what's feeding you. Don't give up. The number 4 thing I'd say would be your dream. Don't give up your vision, your dream. Stop asking people to invest in something that you won't invest in yourself. You can't get people to believe in your dream until you believe in it yourself. Nobody is going to put into your dream until you put in. I'm reminded of a story. I used to work for a company, and I was a trainer for 17 years. And we had a big company meeting in Birmingham for this company. And we had company cars in this job. We were salesmen. And we had a big company meeting, and the district manager was telling us how he was expecting more. You know how that goes, and nothing was good enough. I call it the old blood and guts speech. And he said that in that speech, he said that the company was first. You had to do whatever it took to get the job done for the company if you had to put other things on the back burner. And this young man had just went through training, just got the keys to his company car. I don't even know if he'd ever got on his own yet. I think the next week he was supposed to. And after the meeting, he came up to the district manager, whose name was Mr. Williams, and he said, "Mr. Williams," he pulled out the keys to the company car and he put them on the desk, the table or whatever it was where Mr. Williams was, and he said, "Here's the keys to my company car." And Mr. Williams said, "Son, you're not quitting now. What's going on? What's wrong?" And he said, "Well, you said that the company is first, and Everything else is second. He said, I want you to know that God is first, Mr. Williams. Second is my family. Third is my church. Actually, he said, first is God. Second is my church. Third is my family. And this company is so far back there that when I look in the rearview mirror, I can't even really see it anywhere on the horizon. Half studied, half worked, but you thought you'd be further along than what you are. A commitment is not a feeling. It's a commitment. It's something you do because you're supposed to. If you don't ever learn to give like you want to get, all your plans and your dreams will die. You don't understand sacrifice. If you don't understand sacrifice, then you won't reap where you have not sown. It's a law that you reap where you're sown. If you reap and don't sow back, you will use it all up and you won't reap anymore. It's like I was talking on with deposits and withdrawals. You can't withdraw where you haven't deposited. What does your church, your family, your job, others get from you other than you show up? And some don't even do that. You don't have to be talented. You just need to be committed. Be an asset, not a liability. If you go to your church, you need to add something to it. If you go to your job, you need to add something to it. The only thing that doesn't add to anything is a zero. What do people want to get when they get you? You're going to feel me when I come, and you're going to feel me when I leave. I want to leave my print, my fingerprint on this earth before I leave. Everybody wants an asset. Liabilities get left behind. A guitar is just a guitar until you put it into the hands of someone who has committed themselves to learning and practicing and getting better. Do you have anything that you're dreaming of that you're willing to be committed to follow through and see that it happens? Are you just throwing pennies into the wishing well of life, wanting to receive something on credit that you're not willing to pay for? He said, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Brothers, it's a long ways from what a desire and a wish is. You must suffer and sacrifice and sweat and keep your focus and suffer through tears and fight through many troubles. It will happen. I might have to work harder, might have to take night classes, but I'm willing it to happen. I don't care what anybody says. If you're committed, you can. You will never be able to bring down somebody that's committed. Somebody that's determined has already been down before and got up. Do you believe in anything enough to fight for it, suffer for it, believe in it, or do you just want somebody to hand you something because you want it? Commitment. Either you're in or you are out. There is no such thing as in between. You have no right to expect the crown when you avoided a cross. No cross, no crown. Naturally, roadblocks in their way may stop someone who is not fully committed into getting where they're going, but a man who is determined to get there will find a way, another way if they have to. It makes no sense to me how people can be more faithful to a job or a hobby than to their church. When Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took a bold and decisive step to ensure the success of his military venture. Ordering his men to march to the edge of the cliffs of Dover, he committed them to look down at the water. He commanded them to look down at the water below. To their amazement, they saw every ship in which they had crossed the channel engulfed in flames. Caesar had deliberately cut off any possibility of retreat. Now the soldiers were unable to return to the continent. There was nothing left for them to do but to advance and conquer. Talking about the woman with the alabaster box, a spikenard. I was in the hospital about 4 years ago. I had a heart attack, and there was two gentlemen came there from another church, and they had a bottle of oil, and they wanted to know if they could anoint me. And I said, go right ahead. I was needing help from wherever it come from. And when he opened the bottle, I smelt that aroma. And I asked that man, I said, brother, what was in that bottle? And he said, we had a bottle of oil and we had a bottle of spikenard. And we put one drop of spikenard in that oil. And it fragranced the whole bottle. And when he opened that bottle, it fragranced the whole room. Do you affect the whole room in a positive way when you come in? Lukewarm, half trying, half committed, casual. You'll never have, You have never thrown yourself fully at anything in your life, and you think it makes no sense to me how some people expect a lot and commit to very little. I wonder if your spouse would accept you if you're telling them that you will be committed 90% of the time. I've married several people, and when it comes down to the vows, I've never, when you say, will you richer or poor, sickness and health, better or for worse, I've never had anybody say, well, give me just a minute or two, let me think about that. They say, I do. They're committed. You've been at 30 or 60-fold when you were created to be 100-fold. I hope this has helped you today, friend. I hope you'll decide to be committed. You'll get more out of life if you'll have commitment in your life. You'll have a life of excellence instead of a life of mediocrity. Good is the enemy of great. Mediocre is the enemy of greatness. I hope this has helped you some way. My prayer is that we can all make it. May God wonderfully bless you until we meet here next time at the same time. And my prayer is that as many as can will make it. Please phone, text, or email any comments to Dale Cantrell at 256-508-4410 or email me at DaleCantrell2, that's DaleCantrell, the number 2, at gmail.com. Maryville Holiness Church is located at 1285 Steger Road in Maryville, Alabama, 35759. But any notes or letters should be sent to 278 Priest Lane, Hazel Green, Alabama, 35750. If you do not live near the Meridianville area but would like to attend a service near you, then contact me, Dale Cantrell, and I'll get you to the location of the nearest church to you where you're at. If you would like to come and visit us, and if you just want to stay through the singing, I think it'd be well worth your time. And then if you need to leave, you don't have to check with anybody. Just ease on out, and we won't feel bad at you, none at all. If you come, we'll try to make you feel as welcome as we know how to. May the good Lord bless you again, is my prayer. Until next time.